Matthew chapter 13, starting at verse 31. He, as in Jesus, told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is of the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it becomes the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 30 kilograms of flour. You should have pounds up there, 27 pounds of flour, until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of your son, Jesus, for his life, his death and resurrection, which we will celebrate and remember later. But Father, we also thank you for his teachings, for the beautiful stories that he told and for the secrets of the kingdom of heaven that he revealed and that have been written down for us to be owners of those secrets and sharers of those secrets as well, Lord. So we thank you for all of that. And as we explore the word today, Lord, we pray that it would take root and that it would grow like a mustard seed into a tree in our own lives as well. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, so today's sermon has been entitled, The Parable of the Mustard Seed and the Yeast. And we're just going to start at the end of the parable, not with the parables, but the end of the reading today. That quote, I will open my mouth in parables and I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world, is a line from Psalm chapter 78, the opening of Psalm 78. And I want to read that for us this morning. It won't be on the screen, so you'll need to listen here. My people, hear my teaching. Listen to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from on old, things we have heard and known, things our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their descendants. We will tell the next generation the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done. He decreed statutes for Jacob and established the law in Israel, which he commanded our ancestors to teach their children so that the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. Then they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Now, there's a really important clue for us in the fact that Jesus chose, well, that particular part of Psalms is what is remembered to describe the reason why Jesus spoke in parables and only parables to the crowds, yet he explained the secrets of his parables to his disciples. It's a clue that's going to become important later because it helps in the understanding of how the kingdom of heaven works. We're all about the kingdom of heaven at the moment. We're talking through some of the parables that Jesus used, the way he described the kingdom of heaven with these beautiful, rich metaphors and these lovely images that made it possible for people of his time in the average era and people even today to be able to understand exactly what he was trying to say and to be able to understand and be revealed what the kingdom of heaven was like in a way that we can understand. Understanding the ununderstandable is essentially the purpose of Jesus' parables. And these two are really short ones and they have a really straightforward meaning, thankfully for us. The meaning of these two parables is the kingdom of heaven is designed to grow. The kingdom of heaven is designed to grow. A tree grows. When you mix yeast into dough, the dough grows. Quite large, in fact. In fact, you've got to make sure you've got a big enough bowl. Learned that one the hard way. The kingdom of heaven is designed to grow. It is a very straightforward message. But not only is it designed to grow, Jesus gives even more detail when he says that the kingdom of heaven is designed to grow from very small to very big. He uses the example of a mustard seed, a seed at the time which was tiny, to describe that even though it is the smallest of all seeds, it becomes the largest of garden plants, from a tiny seed to a massive tree. The kingdom of heaven is not only designed to grow, but it is designed to grow from very small to very big. Growth is the hardwiring of the kingdom of God. It is designed to grow. That is what it does. That is why the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing ever since Jesus commissioned his disciples. The gospel has gone out into the world and it continues to go out. And now that responsibility of sharing the gospel has come to us. The growth of the kingdom of heaven is in our hands now. It is something that God has entrusted to us to grow it from small to large, to the largest of all garden plants. And what I love the most about, I love a lot of things about Jesus. He's kind of awesome. But one thing I really love about the way Jesus told stories is he didn't just say the kingdom of heaven's like a tree, starts as a seed and then it grows. That's really all he needed to say. That's the crux of the metaphor. He uses this beautiful image at the end where it says, it becomes a tree and birds come and perch in its branches. Or some other translations say that the birds find rest in its shade. There's just this really beautiful image there of this big tree and the birds chirping and singing and just being happy and contented under the branches of the kingdom of heaven, which gives you this beautiful picture that you can cast your mind forward to, of like when the kingdom of heaven grows, it becomes something that's really beautiful, something that's really useful, something that we can just aspire to want to see happen. So when we hear that the kingdom of heaven is designed to grow, it should excite us. It should give us hope. It's really, really exciting. But there's work for us in this as well, because the way that the kingdom of heaven grows is by us, God's people, making Jesus known. Those of you who've been journeying with us for a while, which is, by the look, most of us here, you will know that our vision statement is to know Jesus and make Jesus known. The making Jesus known aspect of our vision statement is the way that the kingdom of heaven grows. Now, you'll remember from what I told you at the very start that there's a clue in that Psalm 78 quote and about the way that Jesus spoke in parables to crowds, but then explained everything in detail to his disciples. The reason I suspect, anyway, that Jesus chose to do things this way is, first of all, when you tell a great story like Jesus did, people get interested. People want to know more. And so people come looking for more information. So every time these parables go out and the word of God and Jesus' stories go out, there's this interest to them. There's this piquing of people's curiosity. But the reason that Jesus just didn't tell everyone all of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven straight away out on a nice sheet of paper in a manifesto like we kind of have today, that took a while, was because the kingdom of heaven wasn't designed to grow from Jesus alone to everyone. Jesus entrusted the secrets of the kingdom of heaven to his disciples, who entrusted them to other disciples and to other disciples and to other disciples. The kingdom of heaven grew because people made it known to other people who made it known to other people. It multiplied. Looking at the image of a tree, if you think about a tree sort of, it puts down its roots, then it grows a trunk, then branches, which grow more branches, which grow leaves. Yeah? A tree doesn't emerge from the ground fully formed with the leaves on the top just come sort of up like that. Some botanist up the back is disagreeing with me, but we'll talk about that at morning tea. I'm just kidding. She's probably right. I don't know anything about plants, but I know about trees. The trees grow this way. I've got the microphone. But you think about it, like I had this image of like, you know, like during the flood, and then when the waters receded, it just would have gone down and the trees just would have come out fully. Like, that's not how a tree grows normally. It grows trunk first, then branches, then leaves. In the same way, Jesus had his inner circle of three disciples. He had 12, then he had his 72, and then he had crowds. The kingdom of heaven grows from generation to generation to children that are not yet born, who will be told the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord. That is how it works. It works and it grows because we have been entrusted to make it grow. So in a weird way, the kingdom of heaven can grow without us, but it's not designed to grow without us. We have work to do. We are responsible for making Jesus known, because when we make Jesus known, we change the environment. When we walk into an environment as an ambassador of Christ, which we are described as in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20, we are Christ's ambassadors, as if he were making his appeal through us. When we move through the world, we are moving through the world as Jesus's representatives, almost to the point that we are meant to move through the world as Jesus to people. That is what we do. That changes the environment, just like when yeast is walked all through the dough. Now, I remember during lockdown, everybody got into sourdough making and it became all the rage. So many of us will probably have an image, and there are probably some, I make a few cracks, quips at Craft Care and chat about being significantly younger than people. So there are actually probably people in the church who may have actually made dough like this when they were in their childhoods or seen parents and grandparents do it. I mean, I've grown up in the area where you just go to the shop and buy bread. So I've never actually done it myself, but I have made pizza dough. And you see it starts so small, but when you work it through, it gets bigger and bigger. Sometimes it's like four or five times the size of the original dough mix that you have when you mix yeast through. And this is a woman who was working her butt off, really, kneading dough, yeast, through 30, well, that's about 27 kilograms of dough. That is what she is weighing. That is a lot of work. And yet another thing that's great about the way Jesus told these stories, have you noticed he's got a man in the field and a woman in the kitchen? Now, I know that that's not great gender diversity that we have today, but at the time, that's really great because then everyone can understand. Like, he is there talking to women in the ancient Greco-Roman world who would have known that their only responsibility was to be men's property and to cook food and to produce heirs. Like, that was literally all women did in that. That's all they were worth in that environment. And yet here is Jesus coming along and explaining that you actually have a metaphor for the kingdom of heaven that is yours. Like, when you are doing that hard work of yielding and seeing what that does, that is an image that you, the women who are valued in the kingdom of heaven, you can understand this too. It's not just for the blokes out planting trees, it's for you as well. The kingdom of heaven is somewhere where everyone is welcome. And that's why when we go out into the world to make Jesus known, we need to change the environment. We know from Jesus' other words in his Sermon on the Mount that we are salt and light. Salt also changes its environment. Light changes its environment. You know what it's like when there's a blackout and you turn the torch on? It changes the environment. That is what we are meant to do. That is how we make Jesus known. And there are two ways that we can make Jesus known. We can make Jesus known through our words and through our deeds. So when we talk about making Jesus known, it's not just about talking about Jesus, sharing the story of Jesus, sharing the stories of Jesus and the story of his life, his death, and his resurrection. That is the sharing of the gospel aspect of it. Those are the words that we use. But we can also make Jesus known by being as like Jesus as we possibly can. When you walk into a room and you are in that room as Christ-like as you possibly can be, you will never be fully Christ-like this side of heaven, but if you can be as Christ-like when you walk into a room, when you bring the power of the kingdom of heaven, the hope of the kingdom of heaven within yourself into a space, you can change the environment. It only takes a tiny amount of yeast to quadruple the size of dough. It only takes a tiny seed to grow into the largest of all trees in the garden that birds can come and perch in. When we walk through the world, we need to walk through the world as Jesus to people. And that is how we make Jesus known. And what's great about that particular side of it is that you can walk through the world and make Jesus known without ever having to open your mouth. You still should, but this part of it can be done while all wearing your mask. Because it's weird, because you're all wearing masks. It's actually quite a good metaphor, because it's hard to hear people speak when they're wearing a mask. But when we act as Jesus, when we behave like Jesus, when people can clearly see there is something different about you, you are not just another piece of flour. You are yeast that is here to change the environment. You are salt that is here to change the environment. You are light that is here to change the environment. That has an impact. It's attractional. People want to get involved. They want to know what you've got. They want some of that. And it's how the kingdom of heaven is able to grow, because that's when your words come in, because they might ask you about it. They want to know more about, what do you have that I don't have? What are the things that make your life so hopeful, so joyful, so peaceful? Why are you so loving, so peaceful, so patient, so kind, so good, so gentle, so faithful, and so in control? I think I've only got 8. I'm pretty sure I missed a fruit of the spirit there. Oh. But you get my picture. When we walk through the world like that, people want to know. And then we get to tell them. Always have a reason to give for the hope that you have. Be able to give an answer. There is a reason for great hope in the story that Jesus told today. I want to share with you a devotion that I actually presented to the leadership team during our devotional time a few months ago. And it's about the story of Gideon. And it's a reason why this story of Jesus, particularly about the mustard seed growing into a tree, should give us a cause for such hope, because there is nothing so small that God cannot turn it into something big. There is nothing so small that God cannot turn it into something big. Now, here at Brimbank Church of Christ, we're a little bit of a smaller church. And sometimes it can think, well, we can't do what that big church can do, and we can't do that. Or there's a limit to how much resources we have to be able to impact the kingdom here in Keilor East. Now, there are some truths to that. But that should not be a cause for us to feel disheartened or to give up, but rather it should give us a cause for great hope, because there is so much more for God to work with. For those of you who are familiar with the story of Gideon in Judges chapter 7, it is in Judges chapter 7. If you aren't familiar with it, to read it. So I'm just going to sort of give you a summary. But essentially, the Amalekites and the people from the eastern nations who had been oppressing God's people, they were coming in, burning their crops, stealing their crops. They so impoverished them that they cried out to the Lord for help. And they were described as being as numerous as locusts with their camels and their armies. They had a massive army of people. And Gideon was charged with the responsibility of leading God's people into war to conquer these nations that had come to oppress God's people. And God said to him that you have too many men. I can't send you out with that many men. I cannot deliver Midian into their hands, or Israel would boast against me, saying, my own strength has saved me. God culled the Israelite army. Gideon started out with 32,000 men. 32,000 men against possibly hundreds of thousands of enemy soldiers. He had 32,000 men at his disposal. And do you know what God did? God got rid of 31,700 of them. He sent 20,000 home immediately. Basically, anyone who's scared, they don't want to fight, send them home. He was left with 10,000. He then had a couple of other tests, and he peeled back and peeled back the army to basically Gideon was left with just 300 men. 300 men, some torches in jars, and some trumpets. That is all God needed to defeat an army of hundreds of thousands of soldiers. Have my next slide there, yeah. With the 300 men remaining, sorry, go back. You'd already put it, thank you. With the 300 men remaining, that's all God needed. The kingdom of heaven is designed to grow from very, very small to very, very big. We often use the expression in church about whenever there are two or three gathered in my name, there I am among them. And that is true. God does not need lots of people or lots of resources for us to provide to him to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. The king, he's hardwired into his kingdom that from something very, very small, he can grow something very, very big. And that should be a cause for great hope for us. Because even if there's only two or three of us, even there is no church too small, there is no ministry too small, there is no meeting that is too small, God can turn the very small into something very, very big. Thank you, Greg. It is a cause for great hope, but it's also a call to action. I should have my last slide up there, if I may, please. A reason for great hope and a call to action. Let the hope of what God has promised about the kingdom of heaven be the thing that sustains you. Let that promise that he is growing his kingdom be the thing that gives you the resolution and gives you the hope and gives you the perseverance that you need to persevere through times of smallness. Because there is nothing too small that God cannot grow it into something big. But he wants your help. Doesn't need it, but he wants it. He has commissioned us to go out there and talk about his son and to behave like his son, to make Jesus known through our words and through our deeds. And with the hope that we have built on that promises, those promises, that should be a relatively easy thing for us to do. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these beautiful stories that Jesus told us. We thank you for the imagery that it presents, and we thank you for the opportunity that we have to be part of growing your kingdom. Lord, we just want to ask for you to give us the perseverance, give us the energy and the hope that we need for whenever we're faced with adversity or disheartenment, that we would be bold, that we would be courageous, and that we would be strong, proclaiming your word and behaving in every way possible like your son, Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.